So good to see you guys this morning. You know what? I am so tired. Last night, I thought it was a good idea to watch a kung fu movie with my son at 10 p.m. Because Lindsay's gone in Kansas City, so I'm like, movie night! And we watched a kung fu movie, and then at 11 p.m., we were running around the house, jumping off couches and tables, and kung fu fighting each other, and then he had a meltdown and wouldn't go to sleep till midnight. And now I'm feeling so tired. And JD's like, what are you whining about? Chris Huber over here just got off a 24-hour hospital shift. And she's here. She didn't go to sleep. She came to church this morning. So isn't that awesome? So JD's like, what are you whining about? So, all right. I'm ready to go here. Okay. So for the first month of our core team meetings, we talked about our core values, down, up, in, and out. And really over the next 2 months, we're going to be unpacking the core value out, which is mission, right? Our identity as a church, City Light Benson's identity, is that we're a missionary family. We've all been given this ministry of reconciliation to bring people to God. And it's not something professional Christians do and just pastors do. All of us are called to be missionaries. And so we have to ask ourselves, what do missionaries do? And if you think about a missionary team that gets sent over to another culture, the first thing they have to do when they get off the plane is learn the language. They have to study the people. They have to be students of the culture that they're going to. Because if they don't learn the language and learn the culture, they're not going to be able to speak meaningfully into that culture. My friend Michael Brown makes this point by giving an example of an American street preacher who goes over to a remote Chinese village and starts shouting the gospel to passerbys in English. No one would take notice because no one would be able to understand. Right? The gospel is the power for salvation, but unless it's translated clearly to the listener, it won't existentially have power over their hearts. Right? And so we need to be both biblically literate, and we also need to be culturally literate, so that we can speak the gospel and live out the gospel in ways that are meaningful to the culture. And Paul modeled this for us perfectly. We see in Acts 17, 22, and 23, him saying this, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am now going to proclaim to you." And so the story gets better. He preaches this great sermon. What I want to do is pause and just look at what Paul did. It says that he physically walked around among this new place. And it said that he looked carefully. He was observant. He was learning. He was comprehending where they were finding their identity, the things that they were worshiping, so that he could understand their story, understand their history, and speak the gospel meaningfully into their lives. And that's what I want to call us as a church today to do, is to follow Paul's example, to be missionaries here in Benson that are learners of the culture. JD talked about last week, us being a church that listens to people, right? And so this is really an extension of that talk. I want us to be culturally literate here in Benson. And so that's why today we're spending an entire talk on Benson history, so that we can learn to appreciate Benson history and see the pitfalls from the fall that exists currently today, and then talk about how the gospel can intersect Benson's story. Okay, so that's where we're going today. And I just want to say this, is that my hope is that through today's talk that you would learn, or that you'd start to love Benson more. Because as I talked with guys like Ben Schaefer, who is the head of the 402 Arts Collective here, as I talked with Luke and Autumn Pruitt, the owners of Aromas Coffee, the Benson Historical Society director, we talked with the middle school teacher this week, we talked to the grade school Rose Hill Elementary principal a few weeks ago, and what I've found as I've been investigating and learning about Benson is that the more I know, the more I'm starting to love this place. And I just want to, and I'm excited today to share with you some of the things I found in the history, because I think that today that some of your feet will be planted more firmly in Benson because of the story. And that as you listen to the story and hear what God's done here over the last 100 years and more, that you would start to love and appreciate this place. So that we would be a missional family here that doesn't exist out of a sense of duty, but that we'd be missionaries that are here because of a sense of delight and joy, and we're having fun in the process of doing it. And so that's what I hope God does in our hearts this morning. So let's go back to the beginning of the story. And in case you weren't here 2 weeks ago, let me catch you up on the founder of Benson, Erastus Benson. He grew up in Virginia. His parents were very wealthy. They had a lot of land. And what happened was they had a lot of slaves. And 2 years before the Civil War, his father was convicted about slavery, and they actually freed all of their slaves. Then they moved north to Iowa. That's where Erastus grew up. He got a law degree from the University of Iowa, and then came over to Omaha because of the opportunities here. And really, Erastus Benson was a very multi-talented man. He was a lawyer, he was a developer, he was an entrepreneur, and even wrote poetry and wrote music. He was an artist. And what's fun is that you can actually go to the Library of Congress website and actually look at his sheet music, of the music that he wrote and composed. Super cool. All right. He also was active in the Republican Party and actually made a run at mayor of Omaha in 1906, but unfortunately didn't win that election. When Benson first arrived to Omaha, he purchased 900 acres of land from the Creighton brothers. The Creighton brothers went on to found Creighton University, and he got this all these acres, and that they were platted in 1887. But the problem was, Benson at the time was kind of like Blair. It was kind of far away from the city. It was a little ways away, and so he had a hard time getting people to come up here. So this is actually a true story. He hired a guy named Buffalo Jones to tend to a herd of buffalo along Saddle Creek, Northwest Radio over here. And he's hoping that this herd of buffalo would actually attract the curiosity of people, and they'd actually get out of Omaha and come up to see Benson, right? And it worked. People started to come up. Because people had trouble getting up here, he invested in the rail car business to make it easier to get transport people up here. And this is where things get really fun and interesting, is that the rail car that he started, the line started at 40th and Cumming and then came up Northwest Radial right past our building here. Now, can anyone tell me what's at 40th and Cumming? Yeah, City Light Chapel. That's where City Light bought Low Avenue Presbyterian, 40th and Cumming. And so the very place where Erastus started his rail car is the place where City Light started. And 2.5 years later, we followed the rail car train line up here in Benson and starting a church. Just fun fact of the day. The main attraction of Benson early on was Krug Park. It's now called, it's a bar in Benson. The Frederick Krug Brewing Company bought the land where Gallagher Park sits today, and they called it Krug Park, and it was an amusement park. It was a huge attraction. They had a big roller coaster. They had a wave machine back then, multiple pools, the Ferris wheel, the whole nine yards. And so it was a major attraction to come up to Benson to go to this amusement park. But in 1930, it all ended. A bolt came loose on the roller coaster. Four full cars with students fell off the track. Four people were killed and 17 people were injured. And up until that time, it was the worst roller coaster accident in U.S. history. And so they had to shut down the roller coaster, and it kind of drudged along for 10 more years before they finally shut the park down in 1940. And so that was just a little piece of Benson history for you. It'd be cool if that park was still here, but it's not. Now, as far as the early spiritual climate of Benson's concerned, I was reading in a Benson history book from the library and found this interesting statement. It said, "It has been said that the Benson people must be either very good or very bad because there is a church on almost every corner." Right? And it's true. As you look downtown Benson, if you were to walk along this business district here, you would see a church on almost every corner. And we have to ask the question, why is that? How did all these churches get here? Well, 2 weeks ago, I explained that in the Midwest, in Omaha in particular, there was a revival going on. Right? I read a quote from the Presbyterian General Assembly that said that never had they seen such spiritual returns since the period of the Reformation. Like, things were happening here. And so today, since I have the time, I want to read another quote, this time, but not by the Presbyterians, but by a Methodist pastor on the work of church planting here in Omaha. He was urging the Methodists to continue the work of church planting and not stop, to stop the train. Here's what he said. He said, the number, and this quote is from 1904. He said, the number of churches here in Omaha have multiplied with the growth of the city. So it has been found that the average church in a city cannot reach effectively more than about 10,000 of the population, or extend its influence much beyond the radius of 1/2 mile from the church. This would require in Omaha 10 Methodist churches to supply efficiently the religious needs of the city, because it was only 100,000 people at the time. The old mother church has sometimes looked on these new enterprises, or church plants, as at the beginning with some misgivings, fearing it would merely weaken her without strengthening the general cause of Methodism in the city. The outcome, however, has proved that her fears were groundless, and that she is buttressed on all sides by strong, vigorous churches. And much more is being done for Christ and his kingdom in the city of Omaha than could have ever been done by a single church. There are now 3 other churches with a larger membership and better property than the mother church had in 1880, and one other with just as many members. Isn't it cool to see that church planting is not a new idea? That church planting is an old idea? It was because guys like this, urging the churches in the city and the other pastors in the city to not give up hope, to keep planting more churches if we're going to effectively reach the city of Omaha. And because of this guy, there were 3 Methodist churches planted early on in this area. And it wasn't until after the Great Depression that those churches didn't have the resources to continue on their own and had to merge into one church. One of those Methodist churches was the Kramer Funeral Home. That was their building. But when they merged, they merged into St. Mark's, is that right? St. Paul's United Methodist Church, which is 2 blocks from this building. Right. And so church planting was the thing in the early 1900s. People were on fire for God, and churches were being planted. Now, fast forward a couple decades. After World War II, buses started to replace the streetcars. In addition, cars began to become more affordable for the average person. In addition, highways were being built all over Omaha, which made it easier for people to get around to different parts of the city that were hard to get to before. And so this led to what is called urban sprawl, which is a move away from the city centers toward the suburbs. And so this really affected the neighborhood of Benson, because after this period of white flight in the 60s and 70s, which is the whites moving out of the neighborhood, when urban sprawl was happening, we see a dip and decline heavily in church attendance here in this area. The neighborhood was affected, businesses were affected here, shopping malls and discount stores were becoming to be the buzz in the 60s and 70s. And so the downtown businesses of Benson suffered during this time. And only a few stores like Haney Shoes really survived this time period. Right? This was a period when church attendance was at an all-time high in Benson. So before the white flight period, in the 50s and the 60s, attendance was booming here. This particular church, Benson Presbyterian, had over 1,000 members on their roster. And St. Paul's, 2 blocks away, had 3,500 members on their roster during that time period. Additionally, Temple Baptist Church was started in 1942 after the first wave of church plants here. And I love these guys. It was just a group of Baptists who said, you know what? The inerrancy of the Bible's in jeopardy in our culture, and we want to form a church where we hold up the authority of the Bible and our Bible-teaching church. And so they started their church in 1942, and it boomed over the next 20 years. Right? They had to build a new sanctuary building like this just to keep up with the growth of the church. But unfortunately, at the beginning of this year, they put their building on the market for sale and are relocating because attendance has dropped. Moving on from the 1970 to 2000, over the course of 30 years, Benson continually suffered from urban decay as a result of white flight and people moving out of the neighborhood, which meant that the tax base suffered. Right, people with money leaving the neighborhood means that the tax base suffered, which resulted in the schools suffering as a result of that. So the Benson schools were affected. But at the turn of the century, around the year 2000, something happened nationwide. There's this movement. There was a resurgence in people moving back into the city, back into urban neighborhoods. Why? Well, one of the benefits for young professionals and newly married couples is that because of this urban decay, these houses that were once really expensive, that were once the gem of the community, are now really affordable. Like, you can move in, get a home that has a lot of character to it at a very affordable price and have tons of square footage. So it's one of the reasons why people are moving back into neighborhoods like Benson, right? You get all this affordable housing, and you get to live in a cool place. You get to be at the center of where all the action and entertainment is happening. And that's actually the second factor for Benson's boom, is the entertainment industry. Like I said before, Benson now has the second most entertainment venues in the city behind the old market. I was talking to a friend, Jeff Spees, this past week, who planted a church here years ago, and now works for community development for the city or city planning. And he said that Mixed Music and Bar was really the first entertainment venue, or one of the first, to take a risk here in Benson. And they did a superb job. They brought in quality bands. I think they even brought in Nirvana once for a concert in Benson. And even though they are no longer in existence, Mixed Music and Bar really paved the way for entertainment venues like The Waiting Room to actually come here and be super successful. And The Music Room every week brings in nationally known bands and is really one of the centerpieces of nightlife here in Benson. So entertainment is another reason for the boom here in Benson. So with affordable housing, awesome nightlife, businesses moving in that are best of Omaha businesses like Lot 2, right, Benson Brewery. We just heard that Ted Molloy's Ice Cream is going to be coming to Benson here in another year. Yes, amen. It's no wonder that people want to move and are flocking to Benson. Right? The city spotlight is on Benson. The $1.3 million renovation construction plan is underway. They're redesigning the streetscape of Benson, and that project has already started. And so they're building a 100-unit apartment complex here next year for young, that they're gearing for young professionals to be able to move in. And so as you look at Benson, it's just evident that God's common grace is here in Benson. That the Bible says that God causes the sun to shine and rise and the rain to fall on the good and the evil, on the just and the unjust. And so it's just God's common grace on this community. I think that's one of the reasons why God, through prayer, brought us to this community. Because something is happening here, and God wants to move. It's exciting. There is a Benson Renaissance underway. I read in the history books that in 1906, that Benson got religion. That's what the papers were saying. And that's the same year that Benson Baptist was founded, and that's the same year that Benson Presbyterian was founded. Something was happening. And so people have asked me, why go to Benson when church plants have failed there, when church membership's declining? Isn't that dumb? I would say no. Like, we are, city like Benson is a church full of faith that believes what happened in 1906 can happen 100 years later in 2016. Amen. That once again the papers would read, Benson, for some reason, has got religion again. That the tables have turned. Let's keep praying toward that end. Finally, I want to ask this question in closing. In light of the story, right, that's happening here in Benson, in light of the history, what would Jesus do if you were to come back in the flesh today? Like, what things would be on Jesus' heart? In what ways would Jesus try to intersect people's lives here? And I think that's a question that's not easily answered. I think it's something that's going to have to be answered by all of us collectively over the coming years. But I just want to get the ball rolling and give you three things that have been on my heart. Three ways that I think the gospel can intersect the story and the people of Benson. The first one is this, is that I want us to be a cultural center or an epicenter for the production of God-glorifying art. To be a center for the production of God-glorifying art. The verse that I feel like God gave me when I was writing the Benson Prospectus was Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts towards God. So I would love for us to be a church that is filled with the Word of God and where songs and music is coming out of our hearts. And I don't want us to settle and have our sights low, right? There's a lot of musicians here. I don't want to have the goal of, hey, let's just try to build a bigger worship band because there's a lot of musicians around. I want us to set our sights higher than that. Because of all of the talent here, because of all the awesome musicians, I think that we should ask God for many musicians to come to faith, that we should partner with the 402 Arts Collective and the awesome Christian musicians working there, and to collaborate and work together on producing God-glorifying fresh music for our culture. To not just bless our church with new music, but to bless our region and bless the whole country with new, fresh music. Because as we see, as we look at the history books and we look at revivals that have happened in the past, we see that fresh gospel music always accompanies the revivals. And so if there's a revival happening here, which I think there is, I would love for us to accompany it with good, God-glorifying music. And the same goes for art, right? We're tapping him on the shoulder to potentially do a mural out here on this north building so we could add value to this community. And I want to see that happen more and more for us to be producers of art and celebrate the arts here, since that is a part of the story. Secondly, I want us to be a church that advocates for the poor and the marginalized. We were talking with the Monroe Middle School teacher this week, and she said that over 80% of the students in the school have free and reduced lunch, which means that 4 out of every 5 students in that school are going to go home to a family that's below the poverty line. 4 out of every 5 students in the school are going to go back home to a family that's below the poverty line. And so we're no longer a church where the poor is in some other area of the city. The poor is actually among us. And I love how Jesus showed up on the scene, right? And he said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. And so I would love for us to see ourselves as the anointed ones, right? Anointed by Jesus to be good news to the poor in this neighborhood. Because the fact is that the poor are going to have a harder and harder time in the years ahead. Let me explain. Christian Gray, the director of In Common Community Development, said that urban redevelopment, which is happening here in Benson, will come at a great cost to the poor. Because what typically happens in scenarios like this, when new businesses and new people move in, gentrification happens. And gentrification is the buying and renovation of houses and stores in deteriorated urban neighborhoods by upper or middle class income families, thus improving property values, but often displacing low income families and small businesses. So if what happens in Benson has happened in other urban areas that are being redeveloped in the country, the story will go, hey, people will move in, lots of money will go in, property value will go up, and people will be displaced. People won't be able to afford to live here. The mom and pop stores that have been a part of the history and part of the story will be driven out of Benson. So I would love for us to be immersed in the business, the Benson Neighborhood Association and the business district, and to be in seats of leadership so that we could be a voice for the poor, to make sure that the poor actually stay among us here. Third, I want us to be a church that focuses on community development. And this is what JD talked about last week. The reality is that because of the sin and the fall, right, in the story of redemption, the story that we see in the Bible, when sin entered in, everything came unraveled. And one of the effects of the fall here in Benson is that there's crime, right? There's murder. There was just a shooting a mile away from here a couple weeks ago. And there's lots of unemployment. And so I would love for us to be a church that doesn't just provide relief, as JD said, but that we would actually develop people in the community to make a difference. Right? I think we can do this in a few different ways. The first thing we can do is to come alongside the teachers and the students in the schools. I would love for us to harness our energy and harness the people and the resources that we have to bless all of the schools in Benson, to see students come to Christ in Benson. That's why we have Alex and his amazing team of volunteers, many of you that have come to Benson to put a stake in the ground and to do high school ministry here to reach out to students and mentor them and see them come to Christ, right, and help them to graduate high school, right? Because graduation in high school is directly affects the crime and murder rate in communities, right? According to the School Library Journal, high school dropouts are 3.5 times more likely to be arrested than high school graduates, and more than 8 times as likely to be incarcerated. Listen, 68% of state prison inmates, 68% of prison inmates don't have a high school diploma. And additionally, according to researchers, when there is a 10% increase in graduation rate, just a 10% increase in graduation rate, the murder and assault rates drop by 20% in the community. So let's continue to be a church that goes after the schools, like supports the teachers, helps students graduate, and helps change the trajectory of their future. The second thing we can do is come alongside the school and neighborhood to help people acquire the skills they will need to get a job, right? To help people get jobs. And this is not just a political pitch where we're like, hey, we need more jobs, right? It's not that. It's much deeper than that. Because we believe that every person has been saved by grace, Ephesians 2:10, right, to do the works that God has created beforehand for them to do. So the reason why God saved us is so that we would be able to carry out God's plan for our lives, to use our God-given gifts to glorify him. And so we want to see every person in Benson, whether they're student or young adult or older in life, to realize that they have been given God-given gifts to glorify and make much of God. And so we want to come alongside those people and help them to acquire skills so they can be employed and have a vocational calling in which to glorify and make much of Jesus. And what's interesting right now is that where Benson High School is going seems to be in a similar path to many of your passions as I've talked to you. Benson High School right now is considering becoming a trade school where each student would have the opportunity to do one of three tracks. One, business and entrepreneurship. A second, health professions. And third, construction design. As I've been talking with many of you over the past few weeks, I've had a conversation with one of you that has a passion to teach youth how to build furniture. I've talked with one person that has a heart to mentor young men, to take them on construction projects and show them how to do construction, right? There's all kinds of things happening in Benson related to this. There's a couple that's helping kids learn how to build computers. There's a girl who goes to City Light that's teaching Benson girls how to do computer programming and teaching them that skill. And so it just seems like things are lining up. I don't know what will happen for sure, but I would love for us to continue to asking the Lord, how can we come alongside to develop people in this neighborhood? And it doesn't stop there. I want us to continue to answer this question together and continue to build this list so that we can actually make a difference here. And so as I close today, I just want to remind you of Newton's law, which says this, and many of you know it: an object in motion stays in motion in the same direction unless acted upon by what? An outside force. I feel like that's a beautiful illustration of our spiritual lives, right? We, as individuals, were headed towards destruction, that we were headed in the same direction, that we were in rebellion against God, going against the grain, working against God's plan for our lives. When Jesus, as an outside force, came in the supernatural power and changed our lives. He's the one that broke the chains off of our hands. He redeemed us from sin, and he did that for all of us. He came from heaven, entered into human history, took on human flesh as a cultural insider, as our missionary, to change the trajectory of our lives. And we're all here this morning because Jesus intersected our story in our life. And he's called us as his missionaries now, as a missionary family, to be a force here in Benson by his grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to change the trajectory of Benson. Right? To write a new chapter in the history books here in Benson. And so this morning, I want us to, as we sing, as we continue on worshiping, I want us to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us up. To fill us up as we fix our eyes on Jesus and to send us out as his missionaries to change the trajectory and to rewrite Benson history. Let's pray. God, we love you. We're thankful for the work that you've done here over the past 100 plus years. God, your common grace has been felt over the last few decades and 100 years. God, I love how all these churches were booming in the 50s and 60s and the gospel was being proclaimed and people were coming to Christ. God, this all your work. God, you are the creator of Benson and you are the savior of Benson and you are the sustainer of Benson. So God, would you humble our hearts? Would you fill us up by the power of your Spirit, God, to do the work that you want us to do, to bring you glory? God, by your grace, let that happen. In Jesus' name, amen.